Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to the Power of Love Radio Show, only on LA Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Power of Love, sponsored by the D.D. Jackson Foundation. We are here to provide hope, resources, and a community so no one feels alone in their grief. I am T.J. Jackson, and with me I have my two brothers, Taj and Terrell.
What's up?
What's up?
What's going on, fellas?
What's up?
How you guys doing?
Good.
Good.
Good. Good. Well, we are live, of course, on the Power of Love show. If you're listening to us right now, thank you for joining us. Later on in the show, we're going to open up the phone lines. The phone number to call in, if you want to call in and contribute to our show, is 323-203-0815. Again, it's 323-203-0815. You don't have to wait for us to open the phone line, though, because you can also contribute to our show and connect with us through Twitter. The Twitter handle is at DDJ Foundation. Disclaimer, I will say real quick, because my brothers won't, we are not licensed therapists. We're just ordinary people who have experienced loss in our lives. We've been impacted by it, and we've learned from it. And we want to share our opinions in an attempt to help you overcome whatever it is you're going through. Saying that, if you need professional help, we urge you to seek it and to find it. Do not just rely on us. Now, today's show is a very important, powerful show. We were going back and forth. Should we even talk about our weeks? And I think we should just go ahead and get right into the meat of our show. As many of you listeners know, several weeks ago, actually Monday, December 4th to be exact, we lost a dear friend of ours. He was in Terrell's grade. Terrell's age, but he, as I said last week, he impacted even me, who's 3 years younger than Terrell, in a huge way. And that is the passing on of David Strasia, who was 42 years old. He passed with friends and family by his side. Dave passed from melanoma. I think I'm saying that right. It's a skin cancer. He was diagnosed 6 years ago. And it was just, you know, for me, who was not plugged into your age, your grade, mm-hmm. Terrell, and your friends, it was a surprise and one that actually stuck with me for several days, mm-hmm. And still even now I think about Dave every now and then. Real quick, one more thing I want to say about Dave is Dave was someone that he was such a special person because I can't think of him upset. You know what I mean? I can only think of him happy and upbeat and happy. And he's just someone that, as I get older, I'm learning that you kind of grade your life on what you leave behind, you know? And David left something very impactful to even me. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just his spirit was just unrivaled, to be completely honest. And he didn't sell any records. He wasn't in any movies. But if you just came across him on a day, you'd always remember Dave. So he was a very powerful and loving person.
Yeah, that's one thing I would say about David. Thinking about him and just looking back, and you said it after the service. You said the one thing about Dave is you didn't forget him once you met him. Mm-hmm. He was one of those kind of people you just never would forget. You can meet him one time in your life and you just would remember that guy. Mm-hmm. Huge impact. Incredible friend, you know, incredible friend. I don't want to get emotional, but incredible friend, very positive, loving. He's a bigger guy, so his bear hugs, as mm-hmm. everyone knows, were incredible. And he was one of those, for me at least, he was one of those friends that, you know, we all like to be confident, but sometimes doubt sets in. And he was just that kind of guy that was in your corner and made you believe when you didn't sometimes, you know? And it's a huge loss for me.
Yeah, Dave was the epitome of a giver, and he was selfless, you know? He just, he loved seeing other people happy, kind, and it was just, I remember we did something with Code Z and we needed people to fill in spot, and he was there right away. He's like, I'm in.
Yeah.
And that was Dave with anyone, you know, and that was the thing. If you were a friend of Dave, he was there for you.
Yeah.
And, you know.
And for me, one more quick story before we bring in two guests. I'm not going to call them guests. They're actually high school friends of ours who also were obviously impacted by Dave. But one more quick story I want to share is, as a freshman, which is for international listeners, it's your first year into high school, so you're like at the lowest at the totem pole. But as a freshman in high school, obviously I was huge into sports. I loved my sports. But my first sport was football. And Dave was a big guy. So I just have incredible memories of Dave doing everything he can to protect me, because you were our quarterback, but you got hurt like on the first game. So as the backup quarterback,
I went as a backup quarterback.
I was in the quarterback seat, which is like the position everyone's aiming to get their head, you know, chop their head off. And Dave was that figure that was like, I got you kind of thing. You know, it's like, it's okay. Yeah. You're going to be fine. But then also, even in baseball, when I would pitch, Dave was our first baseman.
Yeah.
So no matter what the score was, or no matter how stacked the odds were against me as a young pitcher, he was always so positive. He's like, you got this, T. You got this, you know? So it's just, I hope you guys understand the magnitude that is Dave, and understand his heart was just gold. Okay, with that said, I think those were solid introductions, very genuine. I want to introduce two of our guests. We only have two guests today, Mr. Christian Irwin and Miss Heather Elsky, formerly known as Heather Wolsick. Like, not like Prince, not that kind of formerly known. But, and it's so interesting introducing you guys, because you guys are friends, you know, but it's the proper way to do this. But how are you guys doing? Because I know you guys were even closer and connected with Dave, you know, more so than us, at least in the recent years. How are you guys doing with everything?
It's a day-by-day thing, and it's a huge void for, you know, both Christian and myself. David was there for me for everything. Any major event in my life, I have a memory of David there, and that's, you know, makes it hard, because he was the one that I turned to for everything, and he's not there now.
Yeah, for me, it's I'm just trying to feel everything and just be true to the emotions and allow them to enter into me and feel the sadness and connect with the memories and acknowledge the pain. Because I think that's the best solution, and that's what David would want, would be to us to celebrate him. But there's also the process of walking through this pain and knowing that it's going to be okay, but also knowing that in this moment, when it hurts, in those moments that it's most difficult, that's because the strength of our relationship was so strong. So I feel that and understand that, and I'm grateful for that.
I want to just say something too. The service, you know, when I found out, I think it was through Taj, that Dave had passed, I don't know if it's just me or if this is just human nature. I always tend to, not hesitate, that's the wrong word, but I'm not, you know, I don't think going to services is something that, you know, it's maybe something, an issue I have, you know, it's tough for me, but with Dave, it wasn't even, you know, I was there, you know, he made that much of an impact in our brief interactions that I wanted to be there. And the reason why I'm bringing this up is because, Christian, you had I have to talk to you properly now, but you had a really great speech, and not only you, but a couple of other Dave's other friends, and the service was just really, really good and impactful and strong. And I mean, I was one of those guys who was never going to get married until I went to a really strong wedding, and that service was, there's so much love in the temple that it was just beautiful. So, first of all, the first thing I want to say is, how did you prepare for that speech? And because it was just a couple of days after Dave passed, and how was that delivering that speech in that moment?
Yeah, just to piggyback on your comment about the service, I thought it was beautiful. I mean, the amount of people that showed up, mm-hmm. given what was going on here in Los Angeles with the fires and access, I think the 405, there was a portion of the 405 that was actually shut down that day. So just people, despite that, you know, reason not to go, showed up anyway, filled the family with such, you know, immense gratitude, and it was just so fun to watch so many people there. And there was a, when they opened that curtain and extended the room because of the capacity, it just warmed my heart. And then as far as preparing for the speech, I mean, it was a whirlwind. I was in New York. I arrived in New York on Sunday night and got the call early Monday morning that Dave had taken a turn and communicating all day with Heather. And it was difficult because I felt alone, and I had been with him physically a lot in the last several months, and to be there and not to be able to be of service to the family was something very challenging. And then when he passed, you know, the decision, you know, I had a work conference out there for the rest of the week, but the decision was quick and easy to come home, and I wrote the speech on the plane. Originally, I told, when I was asked by Stephanie, I said, "Yeah, I'm just gonna wing it, basically, just let my emotions kind of take me where they take me." And they advised against that, which I'm glad they did. But yeah, I was on the plane, I was writing, I was crying. The stewardesses and people around me probably, and I was actually there was a time limit, yeah. So I had to like practice. And I think, you know, everybody thought I was crazy.
But Chris, I assume that was very therapeutic as well for you. Writing it and practicing it on the plane.
It was, and you know, I wanted at the actual service. I wanted to be able to get through it. I'm an emotional guy, and, yeah. and I was concerned that I wouldn't be able to even get through it. So I spent a lot of, you know, I really wanted to be able to make. I didn't want the service to be any more difficult than it already was, and I thought the best way I could accomplish that was just getting up there and getting through it. And I brought my, you know, the people closest in our circle up, and I thought that was the appropriate thing to do. It was an honor to honor David.
Yeah, that's great.
I'll ask you guys, because I know how I felt. How did you feel when you first heard that he had passed? What were you feeling?
Just brokenhearted. I mean, just brokenhearted. I had seen him earlier in the day and knew that it wasn't good, and I had said my goodbyes, but I just didn't believe it was going to happen. Mm-hmm. And that was the hardest part. It was, you know, Christian and I would talk in the last few months, and we really were hopeful and really wanted, we were hopeful. And I think that it went from, you know, praying, don't let this happen, don't let this happen, to now that it has happened, what do we do?
Right.
And that was the hard part, because it was just, you know, an instant loss.
Was this your first significant loss there?
No, I mean, I've lost both my parents. Mm. We've lost very close friends, but David was more than a friend.
Mm.
He was my big brother. And, you know, we would always introduce each other to everybody as, you know, this is my brother, mm-hmm. or this is my sister. And... you know, I really felt like if everything went south, that he was the one that was going to be there, yeah. for me. And I think he was kind of my safety net.
Yeah.
And so after you lose your parents, you know, you feel like you're an orphan. And then I always felt like, well, it's okay because I have David.
Mm-hmm.
And now that David's gone, I'm like, okay, I lost another part of,
yeah.
my safety net. And I know that sounds very selfish, but that's, you know, that's how I feel.
I mean, that how you describe that is exactly how I felt when my uncle Michael passed. you felt like everything was still going to be okay up to that point, you know, because you always had him, mm-hmm. you know, and you knew that worst case scenario, someone was on your side and someone that you could count on. And when that's taken away, and then you're like, okay, now what do I have? And it's kind of like your compass in a way, and now there's no compass, and you're like, which direction do I head? Because I always could count on at least knowing that point in north or that point in that direction. And it is, it's about figuring out, okay, now what? But I mean, at least for me, I always try and do and live the way that I know that he would have wanted me to live, and think about the good stories. And I know you've already dealt with loss, and so I'm sure you have ways of doing.
And my husband and I, that's, you know, now we, when we talk about things, we say, well, what would David do? Because David always showed up.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
when I was first dating my husband, he couldn't believe that I had a friend that was, you know, that showed up that much. I would call David for everything. Mm-hmm. If it was everything from, hey, I need my taxes done. I need to file tomorrow. And he's showing up. Or when I got married, the first call when we got engaged was to David. And I said, will you be my matron of honor? Well, I asked him to be my maid of honor, and then he explained that he was married, so then he would have to be my matron of honor.
Okay.
And we got, I was engaged in June, we got married in August, so it was very quick. Yeah. And so he's like, okay, we have a lot to do when you get back, because I got engaged in Hawaii, we got back, and he said, I've already made appointments to go try on wedding dresses. And I said, what? He's like, you need to get a wedding dress. And he's like, we don't have much time. And he had made an appointment at a few different places. I met him at, I remember at Nordstrom's in Topanga, they opened up a wedding boutique, which I didn't even know that. He knew that. We walked in, and he was already ordering everybody around, and he's like, okay, I really think you need a fit and flare and not a trumpet.
Ball so he game. Knew all this.
He knew all this, and I looked at him, and I said,
Abraham.
I said, if I didn't know better, like, how do you know all of this? And he's like, well, I take my job seriously, and I'm your matron of honor, and this is part of matron of honor duties.
Wow.
So today we're talking about our beloved friend David Strasia. We're also going to be talking about, there's five steps. You know me, guys, I do a little research. There's five steps. We're all, you know, friends of David. Some were incredibly close, some were friends from afar. But here's, I want to go over some steps to help us all kind of, you know, survive and move forward in a positive way for Dave. Before we get into my five steps, I'm not going to call them my five steps because they're also on psychology
did you
today.
Like this?
But, but the five steps I've located,
okay.
I want to introduce another close friend real quick, not only of ours, all of ours, but of Dave's, and that is Mr. Patrick Field. Pat, are you with us on the line? Pat? You there, Pat?
Patty Poo. Smurfing.
Late as always.
Well, I'm gonna be late to a call.
I'm gonna keep him on. Hopefully he just put the phone down and get something. I don't know. But let's go over this. I'll go over point number one.
Mm-hmm.
Coping with the loss. Tip number one, surround yourself with a circle of support. You need loved ones to help you get through these tough times. You may rely on friends, family, teachers, and other people that you know and trust. The people you go to for help are your circle of support. They will pick you up when you're feeling down and remind you that you're a strong person. I think we talked about this maybe on a show about a month ago, that it's so important to be able to survive this moment when you lose someone as impactful as Dave. You just got to survive it. And then you can start the healthy grieving process. And I like this tip because I think this is the first step. I think a lot of people sometimes will make the mistake of isolating themselves or, you know, staying away from people. And I don't think that's the best move. So you guys have any input on that? Surround yourself with a circle of support? Are we cool?
Yeah, that's I think that was something, and we've talked about this in previous shows, was the importance of reaching out to your friends and being there. I know I'm guilty of going in a shell and just soaking in my own, but it's important to reach out. And I remember where I was when I heard the news. It was actually Taj called me, and I was like, "What's up, Broski?" You know, excited and happy, and he told me, "Terrell, I got bad news." And when he said that, I immediately, for whatever reason, I immediately felt like I was Dave. And I just felt immediately sadness. And the first person I called was a friend that, you know, he just actually had his birthday, and he's not answering, or he's not on the phone, but it was Patrick. I've known Patrick since I was 4. And when I called out and reached to him, he was crying on the phone. Sorry, Pat, but whatever. He was he was crying and trying to hold himself together, hold in the tears, and it's okay, you know. And we both cried together for a while, and we just talked. And the next person I called was Christian, you know. And it just there's P. What's up, Pete?
Pat, hey, buddy.
Are you with us, Pat? I don't know what's going on.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah. But the next person I called was Christian, and I felt like, I mean, obviously we've been doing the show for a while, but these are things that I felt like I've learned to reach out, because it's not only for me, but for them as well. And I reached out to Christian, and you know, Christian, you really helped me a lot. You really helped me a lot with that. The things we discussed, and it's tough, you know. We've lost our mother, we've lost our Uncle Michael, and you know, I felt like I was going to be okay with this, like I was going to be able to handle it a little bit better, and it was a different type of loss for me, you know. And I thought of Pops, because Pops has lost a lot of his close friends, and this was really the very first friend. You know, my age, I said before, David's birthday was just one day ahead of mine. So we would always text each other back and forth on our birthdays, and he would always tease me, respect your elders, and things like that. I would say, hey, how's 36? He's like, don't do it, go back, you know. So we'd always have little jokes with our birthdays. But this was really the first friend that I lost that was very difficult to deal with. And I really cried. I cried a lot, because, like we all said before, this was someone, for me, that was always there for me. And even this past week, Kobe got his jersey retired. He's got both of his jerseys retired. And I was fortunate to have my jersey retired at Buckley, at our high school. And I think I mentioned this last week. Mom really told me to thank David for that, because he was the one that really put the stats together and talked to the people to make that happen. So, you know, there's a lot of things that David did, and you know, a lot of memories. It's like, as much as I cried, the more I would think about him, I would start to laugh, because I would think about the time he showed up late to Dr. Holbeck's class and he wouldn't let him in the door. And he's like, come on, Holbeck. And, you know, and he was coming so far away, Calabasas, and, you know, with traffic and things. So from that point on, from that one day where he was late, he was the first person always at school. He was blasting his music in his car, pulled up, dancing. So he would always get the mood right. And this is sunrise classes. So they started at, what, 7? So it's like sunrise classes, and it's all early. You're getting to school tired, and this guy had energy because he was there already, not going to be late anymore, dancing around and playing music. So, you know, and it's just his energy. It's that impact that I missed.
Are you going
to
say something?
Yeah, I mean, just to turn back to that, you know, that solution, sticking together and being together in tough times. I just wanted to spend a moment talking about tradition, because it was something that blew me away, because I had never experienced it before. But, you know, Dave was Jewish, and, you know, after the burial in the Jewish faith, the tradition is that you sit Shiva. Mm-hmm. Hopefully I'm pronouncing that right. And that is where the friends and family come together and this was at David's home, and this went on for, I believe, 7 days, and to me, that you know, that says it all. I mean, what a tremendous tradition and what a practical way to provide support not only for the family but all the loved ones, that we could come together and share stories, share experiences, cry together, laugh together. And like I said, that was my first time experiencing that tradition. But as far as, you know, the guides of, you know, the five solutions to dealing with loss, that certainly I felt the impact and the power of that first first suggestion.
Yeah.
All right. Taj or Heather, you guys go with that? You want me to go to another two?
I wanted to talk about the first one as well.
Yeah,
I mean, for me, it's interesting, but like, it's because it said you have your circle of friends and stuff like that. But for me, I found a lot of comfort, and she's here right now. But Heather really wasn't my friend in high school, like, because she was a lot younger. But when Mom passed, she became my best friend because of her having to deal with something similar and kind of coaching me through it. So I would also say, be open to people that aren't, like, that you wouldn't think, oh, they're my best friend, so they're going to be there. I mean, I was open, and I'm happy that I was open, because I wouldn't have probably got through it without Heather.
That's really sweet, Taj.
Thank you.
I'm serious. I know I'm always...
he's always sarcastic.
He's waiting for the shoe to drop.
But real quick, I want to say something. Yeah. I think that's the beauty. I mean, I think all of us here sitting at this desk, that's one thing I think we all can be thankful for is Buckley.
Yeah.
It's a really small private public school, but no matter how far apart you are in grades, it was so small that you pretty much knew everyone. Mm-hmm. I was going to post a picture of me, or of Patrick, actually, and I'm in the school picture as well for his birthday, but I decided not to. But his hair is so bright red. But I knew every single person in that picture, and it just made me think, you know, and even at Dave's service, it's like you saw all these faces from Buckley.
It's like a secondary family.
Yeah.
And I think that's a huge mm-hmm. takeaway is that you guys have to...
What's up with the TJ?
I'm working on things.
You probably have feedback. Phone? Is it, you
still have, you know, no, I don't have the phone. So
was Patrick's hair permed in that school photo?
It is such a funny... Actually, I have it in my phone.
That was one of my favorite Maybe Patrick
I
will. Photos.
What I wanted to say was, while I got the fix, it's so important to connect with the community, connect with something beyond your family, you know? And I think we got that without even knowing it in Buckley. But a lot of people who go to huge public schools or huge schools, they don't feel connected to anything. So, you know, parents out there or even listeners, make sure you're connected to some type of a community, group, team, some type of thing that can help you during these moments. Because as we always say, loss is part of life. It's coming. And you want to make sure you're connected to something, a group of people that can help you get through those situations, because you're right. Mm-hmm. All right, let me go to number two real quick.
Okay.
Number two of five tips for coping with the death of a friend. Number two is accept not having an answer. And this is something I can relate to. When Mom passed, I remember asking why. And there's really, you know, I had to learn that I don't have that answer. You know, I can't find that answer. So just accept not having an answer. It's natural to ask the question why over and over again. Unfortunately, there isn't an answer to the why question. In life, bad things happen to good people, and this is especially true when someone so young has passed away. Part of the healing process is learning to find ways to deal with the unknown and accepting there will never be an answer. Thoughts? What do you guys think?
No, I agree with that.
Yeah.
Have you guys found yourself...
Your mic keeps going out.
Yeah.
Is that... Yeah.
I'm sorry about that. You keep letting me know.
All right.
I know we're older in age now, so this isn't our first loss, significant loss, but are you still finding yourself asking why?
I mean, yes, I think that's natural, but, you know, I go back to faith, mm-hmm. and I just have faith that this is the plan of the, you know, God's
yeah.
will.
I
mm-hmm. know, obviously everyone has their own interpretation of a higher power, or don't mean to make this a religious conversation, but just for me, just having faith
mm-hmm.
in life and just having, you know, a comfort in that has provided me with a lot of comfort as it relates to not spending too much time dwelling on on why did this happen, or why did this happen to David or his family or to me, not making it about me, just being okay and being trying to stay in faith has been a good has worked.
Yeah,
I agree.
Tosh, you got anything?
No, I had a question for both of you. What is your funniest memory of Dave?
I don't know if I can talk about that.
Is there something that, like, to combat, like, you know, if you're feeling sad or what, is there something that pops in your head that like makes you giggle kind of in a way? Like, it's like
just his laugh. I can continually hear his laugh, and just his laugh and his smile, and he was always happy.
Yeah.
You know, I have so many funny memories with him. I appreciated the fact that all the stupid things that I did over the years, that he never judged me. Mm-hmm. He may have, at the time, just shook his head and then let me do it, and then he was there to pick me up after whatever, you know. I remember I convinced him to fly with me to San Francisco to buy a car that I should never have been buying. And he went along, and the entire flight, he was like, "You sure you want to buy this car? Are you sure you want to buy this car?" And even when we were in the dealership, bought the car, and he, as I'm signing, he's like, "I don't think this is a good idea. I don't think this is a good idea." Bought the car, and he's like, "Okay, give me the keys. If you bought it, then I'm driving it home." And it was a terrible financial decision. And then afterwards, he never said to me, "I told you so." Yeah. He was just like, "Okay, well, let's get you through this. Let's get you another car."
Yeah.
Incidentally, David was with me once when I bought a car as well. For the record.
For the record.
No, rather than give you a story, of a time that would make you laugh, I'll tell you something that just kind of encapsulates David to me, and it was something very recent. When he was in the hospital, my son's school book, my son's in preschool, and his his school book or school yearbook photo came out, and I texted it to Dave, and I showed up to the hospital the next day, and his first thing out of his mouth was like, "I really want a photo of that for my hospital room." And it's just that's who David was. I mean, he made my kids feel like they were his kids. He made my children feel like they were his favorite children, and every other person whose kids ever.
I thought my kids were his
favorite. Yeah. Right. And that's who David was, and that's how he carried himself. He made you feel so warm and special as an individual. Heather and I, just like Heather, I went through some challenging times in life, and David was always there, never judged, and was always supportive. And to me, when I think of David, we'll talk about movies for a second. He reminds me of two characters, with a little bit of a third of his own, with his own little spin on it. One of them is Michael Orr from The Blind Side. You know, we talked about his protective. He had this protective gene like none other. And then he was so smart. So it reminds me a little bit of Russell Crowe in The Beautiful Mind.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. The difference between David and Russell Crowe in The Beautiful Mind was David had a great social grace and was completely affable. So he had that ability. I mean, he was just like the smartest guy in the room all the time, but never let you know. Mm-hmm. And that was kind of Dave's magic.
Yeah.
Beautiful. All right. So hopefully we got this phone line working. Pat, are you with us?
Yeah, I'm here.
All right.
All right.
What up, guys?
So this is really like a family reunion. As Terrell said earlier, Terrell's been friends with Pat since he was 4, which makes me 1. So Patrick's like another brother to me. Another brother of mine.
Likewise. A good-looking one.
A good-looking one. How you doing, P?
I'm good, Pete. I'm good. Thank you for having me on.
Good, man. We're going through the list of five tips for coping with the death of a friend. I've done 2 so far. I've done surround yourself with a circle of support. I've done accept not having an answer. And before I get to number 3, I want to ask you, how are you coping with the loss of Dave?
Yeah, I know. Those are the both of those that you'd mentioned so far are definitely very important. You know, we lost Aaron Capps, you know, who was also very close to Dave a few years ago. So, unfortunately, this is not our first rodeo, but it doesn't make it any easier.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just trying to remember all the good times. You know, keeping positivity about it. You know, and trying to just you know that his persona, his memories, spirit will always be there, and to make a point to keep it going, like what you guys are doing now in terms of, you know, talking about him and talking about the memories we've had with him are all very important, I think, in coping with his passing.
Beautiful. You guys want me to go on to number three?
Sure.
Because we only have 15
sure.
minutes, so
sure.
we got to get to five. All right, yeah. Number three. Take care of yourself. Taking good care of yourself may be a challenge when you have lost someone so special to you. When your world has been turned upside down, things that were once easy may now seem difficult and complicated. Even though you may not feel like eating and sleeping, both are essential to your physical and emotional well-being. Taking care of your body is the first step to taking care of your mental and emotional health. I think it's very valid and a really strong tip. I think it goes along with the first one, where you have to surround yourself with a circle of support. You have to still connect and still understand that you have to keep going. We will never forget Dave, never. But I, you know, and I just knowing Dave's personality, knowing who he was, he'd want you to think great thoughts of him and kick butt in life.
Mm-hmm.
He'd want you to be happy. To you know, that's the way I interpret it. You guys feeling the same way?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like this is a critical piece. You know, I think it's important to take care of yourself, not only with eating and sleeping, but also get out there and exercise, go for walks, go for a hike. It's a great time and opportunity to contemplate and think about memories of David and the good times. But you know, this is something that David struggled with sometimes. You know, his physical health,
yeah.
Having nothing to do with the cancer. And I know going through those experiences with David, he was happiest and most comfortable in his own skin when he was actively participating in his health betterment.
Yeah.
So I think, you know, what would David want? I think David would want us all to live healthy, happy, and active lifestyles. Mm. You know, that's the solution there.
Yeah. And it's you're 100% right, yeah. Chris, because David didn't have the typical model body. But when I think of sports or being active, I think of David. You know,
yeah, he was there. Everyone's sports. Yeah.
He was there.
All our teams.
As you said, he was you know, the captain, one of the captains of the Turkey Bowl, and he was there. He's a huge sports fan. So really cool to hear. Cheryl, were you going to add something?
No, it's just... Oh, just you talking about the Turkey Bowl, and that was one of the things that made me start thinking often about him, because around Thanksgiving, November, we used to have this Turkey Bowl, yeah. this flag football, in memory of Aaron Capps.
Yeah.
And
Aaron Capps is another friend of ours who who's a Buckley student who we lost decades ago.
When he was 26.
When he was 26.
We're not 26 anymore.
No.
Yeah.
No.
But
not even TJ.
Not even me.
Yeah.
Not even me.
But yeah, it's just those things, you know. We he was Dave was one of those guys that was just present, and when you saw him, you remembered him. I know I said that before that, but that's just, and he cared. He really cared. Yeah. You know, he can meet you and talk to you for 5 minutes, but he cared.
Yeah.
You know,
Pat, were you going to add something?
Absolutely. But yeah, no, just in terms of what you're saying too, the health aspect of it, it's so important. And it's the direct correlation, I think, when it comes to like your physical and emotional health, especially when you're dealing with a loss like this, is to emotionally deal with it, you got to be healthy. You got to, you know, like Christian said, you know, exercise. And you can do this in the, you know, the great thing about it is you can do things that are active and healthy, and still, you know, do it while thinking of Dave or thinking of the memories or, you know, doing activities as a group of friends on Dave's behalf, stuff like that. So, you know, it's, you know, you can kind of mix it up between being active and healthy and then still remembering him at the same time.
Yeah, I love that, Pat. You know, and for anyone who's dealing with the loss of a loved one, go out on a walk, you know. Take a walk, make a phone call, you know, talk to them. Even though they're passing, have that dialogue. Just don't restrict yourself to just being on the couch or in the bed. It's very important for, again, not only your physical health, but your mental and emotional health.
Yeah, no, I agree. I definitely agree.
Beautiful. Okay, so I'm going to go through number four.
Yeah.
And then there is a pop quiz at the end.
Uh-oh, jeez.
Yeah, so I hope you guys are paying attention. Number four. Coping with the death of a friend. Number four. Take one day at a time. Slow down and take deep breaths. Deep breathing can help you relax, let go of stress, and help you focus on the present. Try to stay grounded in the present. Cycling through the past won't change anything, and worrying about the future won't change the past. Learning to slow down and take one moment at a time will help you when your mind takes you places that you don't want to go. Give yourself gentle reminders to focus on 1 minute, 1 hour, and one day at a time. Thoughts?
I think that's really important. I think when it comes to loss, when you're going through the beginning stages, you don't see a light at the end of the tunnel. Mm. And I know in the past when my mom passed away, people would say, "Oh, time heals all." Well, it doesn't really heal all. It just makes you think about it less. Mm. So I think that if you know right now, you may be thinking about it every minute, but then tomorrow it may be every hour, and then next week it may be every day, and then so on and so forth, that you will be able to get through it. And it doesn't mean that the love will always be there, but the pain won't be as intense.
Very well said.
Yeah.
Well said.
Yeah, I mean, there's a, I think the meditation component to it, if you can tap into that, is a great resource. And, you know, quieting the mind and just taking a little piece of the day to just try to be still. For me, that's, you know, I'm a person that moves quickly, and that's a challenge. But I know when I'm able to do it, I feel much better. If I can just kind of quiet the mind, take a moment, like in the morning, just to... it started off with 1 minute, and I worked my way up to about 5 or 10 minutes. I can't do much more than that. There is a great app called Insight Timer, which is a guided meditation app. You can listen to the ocean. You can listen to the music. Somebody can talk you along. I think there's a lot of solution in that slowing down and quieting the mind and honoring those moments. I strongly recommend it.
Cool. Love it.
And also with the, like you said, the breathing, controlling breathing is very important. And obviously, yoga is another, I think, valuable exercise for that.
Nice. Mm-hmm. I've actually started doing yoga, and I feel so good doing it. I love it.
I love it.
Have you been doing it for a while?
Yeah, I started a couple of years ago, and it's just, it's a game changer.
Yeah, right?
Like I know that if I'm having a bad day, I go to yoga, I have a whole different outlook.
Yeah. See, the dogward dog down, what is it?
Downward dog.
Downward. That that's the only
should have just kept what kind of show is this?
Yeah. that movement.
That's my favorite one too.
Yeah, we know, Patty.
That one is so tough on me for some reason. I love all the other ones, but that one's so tough for me. But it's such a staple. I like Child's Pose, by the way. Okay. All right. So
I was just going to add one more thing. Another thing to remember is you can reset your day, as we talk about one day at a time and one moment at a time. You can reset your day and reset your experience at any moment in the day. So if you wake up and you're having a tough time, you're thinking about David, you're thinking about a loved one, you have that opportunity just to stop, pause, and realign yourself with something else and basically start over.
Love it.
The tough moments are going to come, mm-hmm. and my suggestion would be honor them, but don't spend so much time sitting in them.
Mm-hmm. Well said. All right, so number five, we're going to go through all five. Coping with the death of a friend, number five, is comfort yourself in your sorrow. Comforting yourself is doing something nurturing and kind that helps you feel better. It's the little things that can really help calm, ease, and settle your discomfort. Life's small comforts can even make hard times more manageable. Comforting can come from baking homemade cookies, sounds good, or snuggling with a favorite blanket. As small as these things may seem, they will help you feel better. Thoughts?
Well, I know that right after the funeral, all I wanted to do was get home to my babies because I just wanted to go and snuggle them, because that was the only thing I could think that was going to pull me out of the sorrow that I was feeling. And just to go see them and spend time with them and hear them giggling it helped me immensely.
Yeah, I agree 100%. Same thing with me. I had to grab Adrian, and I told him, I said, Daddy needs you right now, and he was there for me. You know, it happened before when I lost my uncle with Bryce, and Adrian really helped me out, and I think Bryce was a lot younger. Adrian is older, he's six, and I told him, Daddy's just really sad. He lost his friend, and Adrian just gave me a good comforting hug, and he really helped me through, so I agree.
Pets are very good for that as well.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
I've been snuggling with our dog.
No, just very accurate. My dog was huge for me when I lost my mother. Great point. We are short on time. We only have 3 more minutes, and our phone has been ringing, but unfortunately, listeners, I'm not going to answer any phones because we have to close out the show. We went through 5 tips for coping with the death of a friend. I think we should go through the 5 and then end it with a nice message to Dave. So do you guys remember the 5? No?
Surroundings.
Surroundings. Okay, number 1, surround yourself with a circle of support. Make sure you're not alone. Don't isolate yourself. Make sure you're with a group of people that can connect with you. Number 2, what was number 2? Accept not having an answer. Why do I know all these answers?
Because you're staring at the thing, but
good answer. Exactly right. Okay, so you got to accept that you don't have all the answers. There's some things we just don't, you know, completely aren't going to be written right in front of us. We have to just have faith. Number 3, take care of yourself.
Be healthy, exercise.
Take care of yourself, exactly. Number 4.
Breathe.
Take one day at a time.
Deep breath.
Take your time. Life will go on. Life will get easier, but you got to take one day at a time. Number 5.
Snuggle.
AKA comfort yourself in your sorrow. Very good. So I think that was important to share 5 things, because we're friends of Dave. We all were hit with a huge loss earlier in the month. And there's people all around the world that are dealing with losing a friend. And some are as impactful as Dave was. So I wanted to make sure we at least got that out there. Any final words you guys want to say to Dave and his family? We'll go around the round table. Do you want me to start?
Sure.
I just want to say to Dave, you are... I don't know if I should address it to Dave, or I'll speak about Dave. Dave was someone that I don't think he understood the impact he had. And like I said, he wasn't a singer, he wasn't an actor in a movie, but there's not many people that can impact me, and someone with so limited interactions, not that I had limited interactions, but it wasn't like, you know, he was my neighbor that I saw every day. He still had such a huge impact on my life. To live life properly, to be happy, and to enjoy the small things in life. That's what I got from Dave. So that's my little tidbit on Dave. Heather, you want to say anything that you got from Dave?
There's so much that it's just really hard to articulate. But what I would say to him, and what I did say to him, was thank you. Mm. Because he made me a better person.
Well said. Chris?
Yeah, I mean, so much of David is in me now. So much of who I modeled myself after when trying to create a better self was David. So I've lost my friend, and, you know, in a physical form, I I think Heather said it best. You know, thank you for guiding me to light and away from, just to being a better man. I mean, he truly was the best man that I knew. And you know, he's sorely missed, and his family are wonderful people, and this is a tough one.
Yeah, my love goes out to Stephanie and Dave's kids, because I can imagine how hard it is for them. But speaking about Dave, for me, he was the epitome of what like a good person is, and light. And
yeah,
I feel like now, you know, we've all lost something. The world's a little darker now because Dave's not in it.
Yeah. Dave definitely taught me about selflessness, you know, how he always put, you know, everyone in front of himself, you know, and that's something I wanted to thank him for, as far as being such a positive role model and inspiration, and truly, you know, demonstrating what, like, kindness and the big heart is all about. I mean, there's no one that I know that has a bigger heart than Dave, and that's something I hope I can, you know, try to continue in my life, and giving even if I give half of the big heart as he had would be great. Like, he had such an enormous heart, and I love him for that.
Beautiful.
Yeah, and finally, I think you guys all covered it. Just wanted to thank Dave for just being the person he was, for having the impact on us, and for just being that loving person he was. And our love goes to Dave's family. And I'm hoping one thing Stephanie wanted was for everyone to share stories so they can remember David the children. And I hope this serves as one of them, and many more to come.
Well said, Cheryl. Well, with that said, we're going to close the show. But Dave, speaking to you now from us 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 and Pat on the phone, we love you and we'll never forget you, and you'll always be a huge part of our lives.
Absolutely.
All right, you guys. It's hard.
We love you, Dave.
Yeah, we love you, Dave.
Yeah.
Well, if you found our show, and go ahead, Pat. Go ahead.
As I said, thank you guys for doing this. I think this is so important and so great, in terms of whether you obviously, even for the people that knew Dave, it's important, and even for the people that didn't, because of the, you know, what you had taught on the show with coping with, you know, everyone regardless. Is, you know, unfortunately has to cope with death. It's an inevitable thing. So this is an important thing, I think, for everybody. So thank you guys for doing this.
Thank you, Pat. Thank you. If you found our program helpful and can afford to do it, please go to DDJF and support the foundation. Just support us. We're trying to soften the difficulty of loss. And to do that, one of the best ways is just to communicate and to connect. We love you all. We will see you next Wednesday, and have an awesome, awesome rest of your week.
That's it. Power of Love. We are here to provide hope, resources, and a community so no one feels alone in their grief. Support for our Power of Love radio show comes from a variety of generous donors, including supporters from institutions, individuals, and corporations through the D.D. Jackson Foundation. DDJF is a nonprofit 501c3 organization.